Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma stealing the boys and calves, text number 9. Among the coward boys, some place their lunches on flowers, some on leaves, fruits, or bunches of leaves, some actually in their baskets, some on the bark of trees, and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. Text 10. Sarva mito darshan yantaha sva sva bhoja ruchim pritak hansato hasayantascha yava jaru saheshvara. Yava jaru. Yava jaru saheshvara. Sarve. All the coward boys. Mita. To one another. Darshyanta. Showing of some. Sva sva boja ruchim pritak. Different varieties of foodstuffs brought from home with their separate and different tastes. Hasanayanta. After tasting, they were all laughing. Hasayantakcha. Making others laugh. Vyabhyavajaru. Enjoyed lunch. Saha Ishvara. Along with Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the coward boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of the different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh. Purport. Sometimes one friend would say, Krishna, see how my food is relishable. And Krishna would take some and laugh. Similarly, Balaram, Sudama, and other friends would taste one another's food and laugh. In this way, the friends very jubilantly began to eat their respective preparations brought from home. Translation, text number 11. Krishna is yajna bhuk. That is, he eats only offerings of yajna. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side and with his horn bugle and cow driving stick on his left, holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers. He sat like the whorl of a lotus flower, looking forward toward all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter among them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in yajna, was now eating with his friends in the forest. Report. When Krishna was eating with his coward boyfriends, a certain bumblebee came there to take part in the eating. Thus Krishna joked, why have you come to disturb my Brahmin friend, Madhu Mangal? You want to kill a Brahmin? This is not good. All the boys would laugh and enjoy, speaking with joking words while eating. Thus the inhabitants of the higher planets were astonished at how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eats only when yajna is offered, was now eating like an ordinary child with his friends in the forest. Text 12. Maharaj Parikshit, while the coward boys who knew nothing about within the core of their hearts with Krishna, Thus they were engaged in eating their lunch in the forest. The calves went far away, deep into the forest, being allured by green grass. When Krishna saw that his friends and the coward boys were frightened, he, the fierce controller of even fear itself, said, just to mitigate their fear, "My dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to the spot by personally going after them myself." Prabhupada, in the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in this material world. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this material world of fear becomes hardly dangerous at all. Bhavam bhavadir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadam nadesham. Bhavam bhavadir, the material ocean of fear, becomes very easy to cross by the mercy of the Supreme Controller. This material world in which there is fear and danger at every step, padam padam yadvipadam, is not meant for those who have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Such persons are delivered from this material world. Samashitya ye parapalavam plavam. Mahatpadam puyasho murare. Bhavam buddhir vatsapadam paramparam yadvipadam natesham. Therefore, everyone should take shelter of the Supreme Person who is the source of fearlessness and thus become secure. The main problem in the material world is fear. Changing the body, death, if we know where we're going, is not fearful. But if we don't know where we're going, either now or in the future, then of course one will be fearful. As I said before, when Prabhupada was coming back from visiting a doctor, and he passed by a movie theater, and the title of the movie was, "Is There Sex After Death?" So Prabhupada gave a lecture that morning, which you can listen to in L.A. And generally speaking, the devotees were all going out and just preaching at that time. So Prabhupada mentioned that on his way back from the doctors, they had passed by a movie theater, and they saw the title of the movie was, "Is There Sex After Death?" So Prabhupada instructed his disciples that when they meet people during the day, they should tell them that they don't have to worry because there is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. Prabhupada said if they know that, then they won't be afraid of death. So, bayam dvithiya bhinev shitasyad. Fear is due to absorption of material energy, beginning with avidya. Avidya means we don't actually know what reality is. We have the wrong information. We're identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body, and we don't know that there's a supreme controller. This is all called avidya. And as we're covered by avidya, so along with avidya comes asmita, a false ego. We don't know who we are, and we identify with something we're not. And as soon as we get a false ego, along with the false ego comes dvesha and rag, attachment and aversion. Because our minds have accumulated attachments and aversions since time immemorial, and false ego means that we'll identify ourselves with these attachments and aversions. And from that comes abhinivesita, absorption in material consciousness. Or as Krishna says, Dumena Vriyate Vanir, Yatardar Shomale Nacha, Yatobin Avritar Garvas, Tatatain Adam Avritam. Just like a fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so similarly the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So these are given to us. When we make those wrong choices, when we become attached to lust or anger or greed, then naturally we're put into illusion. Just like if you're invited to a feast, but you put a glove on your tongue, then it's not possible to actually enjoy the feast very much, because one's senses are covered. So similarly, because our spiritual senses are covered, we're not aware of either of our identity or what actually experience is real, our real experience is supposed to be. But we imagine the reflection of that experience is something kind of pleasurable. But it's mostly imagination. And abritam gyane etena gyane no nityavarena kamarupena kuntaya dusprena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So that's the material world. The fire they call love, romance, whatever, and then the fire of desire. And happiness means to satisfy temporarily that those desires, but then by the process of trying to satisfy them, immediately they flare up again. They used to have a commercial in America, probably not here, it was about potato chips. And the commercial was, I bet you can't eat just one. Because if you eat one, then you'll be impelled to eat another one and another one. They used to put in, maybe they still do, in the popcorn in the movie theaters, some chemical which forces you to be hungry. So the more you eat the popcorn, the hungrier you get. So they make some money from the movie, the entrance into the movie, but they make more money by selling the popcorn. So the material world means that if there is any happiness here, one becomes addicted to it, and one has to work harder and harder in order to gratify the senses again and again. Punak punas charvata charvanana. We have the experience that if we fast for a day, it's a holiday, then the food tastes much better. Even a little bit of food tastes wonderful. But if you're continuously filling your stomach with food, after a while you can't figure out what the taste is anymore. It all merges into one. It's like if you have a Sunday feast or a big feast for a holiday, and they have many, many preparations, and you try to enjoy them all, after a while, you don't even know, you can't even taste anything anymore. It all kind of merges into one. So similarly, the material energy means that the more we try to enjoy, the less we actually enjoy. And the more one doesn't try to enjoy, even in the material senses, then the senses become more powerful, more enjoyable, so-called enjoyable. So here, that everyone is absorbed in fear, mostly fear of the unknown, and the only way of driving away that fear is by becoming conscious of Krishna, because our identity as a spiritual being can't be actually realized without realizing Krishna. Just like unless the sun comes up, we can't see ourselves or anything else in the light of the sun. So only when we become conscious of Krishna can we understand our identity, our true spiritual identity. Then there's no more fear, because there's no fear of having to leave our spiritual identity, since it's eternal. And Krishna says, Nainam chananti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, nichainam kaita yantyapo, nishoshiti marata. The soul can't be cut to pieces by any weapons, nor burnt by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. So in other words, everyone is Superman or Superwoman. That's where all these heroes, these superheroes come from. They're just reflections of the soul or the super soul. But they all have their weakness. something can always override their superpower, but no one can override the superpower of the soul. So the soul is much more super than any superhero. And you're all superheroes. But we're in forgetfulness. If we don't really know how much, what our actual value is, we take something insignificant as being valuable, and even some hero, even if we could become a superhero, it wouldn't be good as becoming ourselves. What superhero do we know of lives on an eternal planet? What superhero we don't know even lives forever? But the superhero, the super soul, he's the real superhero. And his pastimes are eternal. And those who live with him, they also become superheroes. There's a whole planet of superheroes. There's many planets of superheroes. And when we're not a superhero, then we're always afraid. We're always in anxiety. Because we take this temporary body as ourselves, and this temporary body is always destructible. Ukraman tam siddhin vapi punjana vagunan vita vimudo nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity is quitting his body, nor what kind of body they enjoy under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained to acknowledge can see all this clearly. Yatanto yoginas chayanam yatantyakta krapminaha Itanto yoginas chayanam naivam chayanam. Let's see, where is that? Itanto yoginas chayanam pashantyatma yavasita itantyakritatmano naivam pashantachetasaha. Must be in the 15th chapter. Yatanto yoginas chayanam pashant yatman yavastitam itantap yadikatmano naiva pashanti chetaso. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try. So the solution to fear should be very easy. You just tell people your body's changing, but you're not changing. So one should naturally conclude, well, I'm eternal, so what's the problem? But who can understand it? Only an endeavoring transcendentalist who's actually situated in self-realization can even understand something so simple as that. But others, they may try and think about it, but they won't be able to understand it very easily. Even we have a hard time accepting it. We can understand it, but we have a hard time accepting that we're eternal. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in anxiety about anything. Therefore, only by the process of devotional service in this age can one make any progress towards understanding our actual identity and getting free from fear. And as Krishna says, nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha nacha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kuktak sukham. For one who's not in transcendental consciousness, can have neither transcendental a steady mind nor transcendental intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So we want to be happy, first of all, become peaceful, but if we think we're going to die and that's the end of the story, how can we be peaceful? We'll simply struggle, as everyone we can see, everyone in this material world, up to the last moment, they struggle to survive. Even if there's nothing left of the body, still they want to remain in it. The Yamadutas have to come and yank the soul out of the body. Because we think there's nothing but the body, and they have to, when the body's finished, everything's finished. So therefore struggle, mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhutak sanatana. The living entities in the material world, they're my fragmental parts and they're all eternal. We But due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So without developing our Krishna consciousness, then, well, in the proportion to our development of Krishna consciousness, then our struggle to survive, our overwhelming instinct to survive, our overwhelming desire to survive, gradually decreases. Because we'll see we're going to live forever. There's no need to worry about surviving because there's no question but survival. But we should survive in full consciousness rather than ignorance. Then fear won't be there. And if fear is not there, then we'll be peaceful. If we're peaceful, then there's some, in relation to Krishna, then there's some possibility of becoming actually happy and joyful. Otherwise, struggle, struggle, struggle. You can see people struggling economically for sense gratification, but that doesn't make them happy. And even if they struggle for liberation, that won't make them happy either, because they won't find out just by liberation of the material concept of life. We'll find out who we're not, but we won't find out who we are. And only when we find out who we are can we actually become free from struggle and happy and satisfied within ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? So this process of chanting Hare Krishna is not one of the many alternatives. You can do it, you may not do it. People may do it, may not. But anyhow, they're living in a nice country, the social system here, everything doesn't really matter. They chant, they don't chant. What's the difference? Unless they chant, they're simply in danger. And they'll be overwhelmed permanently with fear and anxiety in 8,400,000 species of life. So it's not an alternative, it's the only way. Because people will say we're fanatics because we're claiming it's the only way. But we're intelligent fanatics. We understand reality. Everyone can be fanatic about reality. All right. Grantaraj, my Bhagavad Tam Kijai.